Why Prince? Well, the Minnesota maestro has passed away in the past week, and we are saturated with Prince tributes. Why 1999? Because smart people told us back in 1999 that what we should be doing is getting into podcasts. And now, 16 years later, we bring you the inaugural broadcast of The Outsiders from the American Conservative Union and your friends at CPAC. Season 1, Episode 1. Don't forget, you can let us know what you think, questions, comments, concerns, on Twitter, at ACU Conservative, and at CPAC. I'm Ian Walters, your sometime, longtime communications director here at ACU, the nation's original conservative organization. I'm joined here by my colleague, Sarah Lee.
Hello, world.
And we're going to bring you a quick rundown of the week's news. Then we're going to sit down with our inspirational and dynamic fearless leader, Chairman Matt Schlapp, to do a deep dive into the often imitated, never replicated ACU ratings, which were released earlier this week. Quick sit down with Matt and talk about some of the trends that we see in some of those numbers. And then we'll do a quick segment on what's going on this weekend here in Washington, the illustrious White House Correspondents' Dinner.
The Nerd Prom.
Nerd Prom, they call it here. Inside the Beltway. So, Sarah, what's going on in the news this week?
Well, a lot, Ian. Almost every presidential candidate has some big story that's broken in the last couple of days. So let's start with Trump's turn toward seriousness with his foreign policy speech the other day.
He gave this very restrained and subdued and serious and substantive speech on foreign policy, which stylistically was different from a lot of the more raucous and boisterous rally scenes that we've seen over the past 6 months. You know, some of the folks that we admire a great deal here, KT McFarland, one of our foundation senior fellows, one of our board members, Ambassador John Bolton, who's often thought of as a great candidate for Secretary of State should a Republican get into the White House, thought that Trump did a very good job. At the same time, it appears there are two Donald Trumps when he goes out and speaks in public. There's one that we saw with the foreign policy speech where he's on the teleprompter and he has lots of great things to say about serious topics. And then you get the Donald Trump who goes out there and is willing to be a different kind of candidate at the rallies with 8,000 to 30,000 people. This week we got a little bit of both.
Do you think, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but do you think that he had a rally in California last night and there was some rioting, which we've seen before. Do you think that the second kind of Trump, the candidate that he becomes when he's not being serious, do you think that, you know how where I come down on it, I worry that leads to some of the rioting. I'm not sure everyone agrees with me. What do you think about that?
I got to tell you, I think that whether it's Mitt Romney, whether it's John McCain, whether it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, there's a certain class of liberal that's going to take to the streets because that's what their parents did in the 1960s. That's how they were raised. This is generational. And you're not going to be a liberal in full until you go and throw a newspaper machine through a Starbucks a la WTO in the 1990s. This is a badge of honor. You know, the way that I was raised, you tried to live your life in a way that made sure you stayed out of prison and you didn't get arrested. But with liberals, the goal is to get arrested. I think it has to do more with liberal culture than it has to do with any one particular candidate.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's kind of like that boomer throwback, you know, anti-war protesting and all of that stuff. It looks a lot like it. It reminds me a lot of the Kent State stuff.
That's what you want. This is the Occupy movement run amok. There are no principles. There are no goals here. The real goal, I shudder to say, is anarchy. That's what a lot of these liberal activists are after, and that's the sort of atmosphere they're trying to create, unfortunately.
Well, since we're talking about liberals, let's move on to one of their candidates then.
Who you got?
A lot of people thought that the rallies last night were disrupted by Bernie supporters. So Bernie, as I understand it, has been laying off a lot of staff. Do you think that some of the frustration we saw at the rally in California is related to Bernie not catching up with Hillary?
Well, Bernie had a uh, had a bad week this week. On Tuesday, Hillary won 4 out of the 5 primaries. He's beginning to lay off staff, as you mentioned, which seems to reflect not having enough cash on hand to be able to sustain a campaign to the Philadelphia convention in July. You know, I would think that if you're a Bernie Sanders volunteer, one, I wonder if those volunteers are all getting paid the $15 mandatory minimum wage, or if they're getting paid regular minimum wage.
That is an excellent question.
Two, I figure that if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, you think that you ought to be getting paid no matter what, whether you're working, whether you're not working, that all of your college ought to be covered just by virtue of supporting the Vermont Socialist Senator. You know, I think he's got the legs, he's got people power on his side, but if Hillary takes this nomination, she's got a lot of work to do in order to bring those Bernie supporters over to her side. It's been a very divisive primary for the Democrats, and bringing that coalition together may prove to be a very difficult task for her.
And I want to move on to Hillary, but one final thought on Bernie. There's been some talk that, and I think what happened in California last night is so fascinating in regards to this. There's been some talk that a lot of Bernie supporters would vote for Trump over Hillary if those are the two general election candidates. But then you see these people out at the rally, and they're ostensibly Bernie supporters, and they're rallying and rioting at Trump.
This is the outsider mojo that both of these guys have. There is a real level of frustration among Americans that feel like that they have been left behind by the Obama economy, even though the White House continues to put out numbers that say unemployment's the lowest it's been since the Reagan years. The fact is that there are a lot of Americans that aren't feeling that they are doing as well as they ought to be doing, and that business as usual in Washington is not making it outside of the Beltway. The economy here in Washington, D.C. seems to be doing well, and that makes sense as Washington gets larger and larger and larger. Folks here are doing well, whereas folks who are susceptible to losing their job because of dips in the economy, because of shipping jobs overseas, are not as happy with how the last 8 years have gone.
And they feel like outsiders.
So it means that Bernie and Trump have a real sort of appeal to folks who want to shake up the system, who want to see something different, who want to see politics practiced in a different way, who are willing to say to the power structure and the insiders that the way that you've been going about taxing and spending is just not going to fly going forward.
And speaking of outsiders versus insiders, Hillary is the sort of ultimate insider, isn't she?
She is, you know, she is part of that Washington power structure. Heck, I mean, just look at the way the Debbie Wasserman Schultz at the DNC has been trying to create a system for her to get the nomination, even though Bernie's got a solid 40-45%. You look at those delegates and the super delegate numbers, who are all of these Democrat Party bigwigs. You crunch those numbers, and it looks like it's an overwhelming support for Hillary that just really isn't there.
Which is interesting, too, because we've been discussing a lot about which candidates might pick who for VP.
That's right. And earlier this week, Ted Cruz selected our pal, former ACU Foundation chairman Carly Fiorina, to be her running mate. And regardless of what other people may say, a lot of people here at ACU think that Carly would make a great vice president. A lot of us thought that she would make a good president, but we'll take vice president. She's a very strong character and will stand up to just about anyone and speak her mind, and we wish her the best.
Do you think she helps Cruz?
You know, I don't know. We'll find out on Tuesday with the Indiana primary that a lot of folks are saying is going to be the Waterloo for the Never Trump folks. I mean, they were saying that Michigan and Wisconsin were going to be the Waterloo. So I don't know. Maybe the Waterloo is California, where Carly did win a statewide primary. She didn't win statewide office, but she won the GOP primary when she was running there for the Senate. We'll just have to see. She's very impressive, and Senator Cruz and Carly have been making the rounds in Indiana. They put on a good show together, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Cruz, people think he needs the help, given that Boehner just came out and said some horrible things about him.
Well, that's right. He said that he was...
Lucifer.
Lucifer. That's right. Well, I think the Satanists came out this morning and made it clear that John Boehner does not speak for the Satanists here in America. Do not confuse our spokesman, who I guess is Satan. Is Satan the chairman and the communications director and the ED for the Satanist operation? Look, in all of my years of observing politics, I cannot come up with an example of one political person calling their political opponent Satan incarnate. This is all new, and I tend to think that John Boehner, when he said that, may have gotten a little deeper into the bottle of Ohio Merlot that he would have liked to. But it certainly is entertaining, but ultimately not terribly helpful to a healthy political discourse in America. And I guess also in the news, we can't forget another Ohio guy, John Kasich, who we learned quenched his very healthy appetite.
Yes, a lot of criticism of how he eats, which is this typical for this election year.
Stick around. Next, we're going to sit down with Matt Schlapp, our chairman, who is going to walk us through the ACU ratings. We had a great event on Capitol Hill earlier this week where more than 100 members of Congress were awarded with the ACU Award for Conservative Excellence or Conservative Achievement, which is based on their voting record from 2015. This is a big deal to a lot of folks who eagerly anticipate to see how their members of Congress did. You can check those out at www.conservative.org. And don't forget, you can let us know what you think by reaching out to us on Twitter at ACU Conservative or at CPAC. Stick around. We'll be right back. And we're back. Last night, the American Conservative Union hosted its annual Ratings of Congress event on Capitol Hill. And we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, our ACU chairman, Matt Schlapp, to tell us about the event on Capitol Hill last night. Matt?
Great event. It was a great event, Ian.
How many people were there? How many people showed up?
You know, we had a packed room. We had, nearly 100 members come by. To say thank you to the American Conservative Union, to say hi to our grassroots activists who came from the area, and to receive their awards. And I can't tell you how many of them expressed their gratitude that we were holding the line on important issues, but also that there was transparency and an equality and fairness in how we judge them. Because, you know, when you're an elected official, you get a little sensitive when people judge your votes.
If I'm a grassroots activist and I go to conservative.org and check out the ACU ratings, how can those ratings, the math that ACU does, how can those assist me in making my best decision when it gets to be election day in November?
Our goal is to make sure that voters and activists know exactly what's happening in Congress. That's our goal. Our number one goal is to educate voters in districts. Now, there's a whole community of folks in Washington, D.C., and in other communities that might care about how these votes come down. But really, as far as the American Conservative Union is concerned, we want voters to know one very simple thing. Is their representative a conservative or not? And we consider a lot of things into whether or not someone's a conservative. The first thing is we follow Ronald Reagan's rule, which said if you're with me 80% of the time, you're my 80% friend. And so we're not just looking at those folks that get it right every time. We're looking for those folks that get it right almost every time. And we're going to work on them on the times they don't get it right. But that's done in that kind of constructive way. The second thing that we do, I think that's unique, is that we focus on three big areas. We focus on the culture, strong families, protecting unborn life. Mm-hmm. We focus on national security, making sure our country is safe, making sure that our borders are secure, and making sure that terrorists don't have us hiding under our beds every day, which I think so many of us are fearful about. And finally, on those issues which are much less controversial, which is just the size and scope of government, our lives, free trade, smaller government, making sure that we have entitlement reform, and just watching this profligate spending that goes on in Washington, D.C. So the culture, national security, and limited government, those are the things that we focus on.
You mentioned that over 100 members of Congress came by to the ACU event to pick up their award. If I'm a House member running for re-election every 2 years, or if I'm a senator up for re-election, why is it important to let my constituents know about my ACU rating?
I think a lot of members feel like there's confusion out there. They don't know where to turn. If you look at our society generally and all those great activists that come to CPAC every year, people don't know where to turn to for answers. Do you turn to the Republican National Committee? Do you turn to think tanks? Do you turn to TV news? Do you turn on the radio? What gives you that ironclad information? And because there's so much news, 24-hour news cycle, there's everything you can get on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, we're just inundated with information. There's so much information that activists sometimes don't know how to separate what's real and what's myth. And so I think what is great about the American Conservative Union and its over four decades of rating members of Congress is there's a credibility there that I think activists and members appreciate. They don't have to agree with us on every judgment call and every vote that we decide, but they know that we're going to do it in a fair way, and they know we're going to do it in a way that upholds conservative values. And I think we got to make sure that we have that integrity going forward.
When you go to conservative.org and check out your representative's rating, you can see a member's rating over the course of time. If somebody's been there for more than 20 years, you can check out their ACU rating going back to their first days in Congress 20 years ago. When you do a deeper dive into somebody like John McCain's rating, who's not thought of as a consistent conservative by any means, but still ends up in the mid-70s, when you look at his graph over time, he's got five bad years, and then he's got one good year. What's that phenomenon all about?
Yeah, this is what's so strange about senators is that because they're in for such a long period of time, they get a six-year term, they can kind of wander and meander in the beginning or middle of their term, and as they have to face the voters again, they can true up and start to vote in a way that would be more politically wise for their district. So this is a phenomenon we see time and time again, and that's why we look at the votes each and every year, and that's why a lifetime rating is awfully important. One of the things we found at the American Conservative Union is as a member serves over time, his votes tend to get less conservative.
What's that about?
Well, I think, you know, this is one of the things that the American people sense about politics in our country at this moment, which is there is some type of corrupting influence that occurs to people who come to Washington to serve. When they serve for a long period of time, they seem to be less beholden to the values that sent them to Washington. Now, that's not true in every case, and that's not true for every person. There were all kinds of wonderful conservatives who we all hold up, people like the late Jesse Helms, who every day he was in Washington held up those values. But there are too many examples of other people that get softer, that get squishier, that get less connected. And I think those senators that try to meander and then only find their conservative values right in the year that they're standing for re-election, we have to hold them accountable. And that's our job. Our job is to simply let the voters in a district know, let the activists in a district or state know what's really happening in Congress.
So wait, let me get this straight. When a member first comes into Congress, when they're rookies, when they're freshmen, there's an adherence to principle that doesn't exist over the course of time. The longer they stay in, the worse their rating gets.
Okay, let me try to make this really clear, because I think the American people really see this. And so what we tried to do is take all the ratings over time of all the members of Congress for the whole time we've been doing ratings. And here's basically what we found. No matter no matter how conservative you are, over time, you get less conservative. So if you take all of the votes and put them together for all the members over the four decades we've been looking at votes in Congress, the vote tends to decline to become less conservative over time. You would hope that all of us would be so effective at our jobs of holding their feet to the fire that people would actually improve over time. And that's just not what happens.
Matt Schlapp, it's always an education. He's going to join us every week. Thank you for joining us this week on our first podcast.
A big week, Ian.
That's right.
It's tearing up my heart when I'm with you, but when we are apart, I feel it too. And no matter what I do, I feel.
And we're back. Don't forget that the American Conservative Union also rates all 50 state legislatures, so you can check out how your congressperson voted, how your two senators voted, and also your state representatives at the local level. So be sure to stay educated and stay informed to see who is representing your interests best at all levels of government. And a quick shout out to our government relations team headed up by Amanda Bunning, Larry Hart, Francis Finnegan, Fred McGrath, and Jack Mantua is better than Wanna, who put on a great event on Capitol Hill earlier this week. Sarah, what's happening here in D.C. this weekend?
Oh, Ian, it is the illustrious and renowned Nerd Prom.
Nerd Prom! Have you ever gone to Nerd Prom?
Of course not. I'm not cool enough yet.
Yeah, I have never gone to Nerd Prom either, but I do make a habit of watching it on C-SPAN from my couch. C-SPAN.org does a great feed of the red carpet and the dinner itself, so you can see all of your famous for C-SPAN Washington celebrities, and then sports figures, Hollywood actors, folks from the New York media scene. Who's coming to the dinner this year?
Well, actually, there's a really hilarious article. We're familiar with The Onion, news site, fake news site. And The Onion has a segment called The AV Club, which is actually not fake. And okay. They have listed out some of the invitees from the major media.
Oh boy.
Sources.
What do we got?
Well, it's just interesting because, you know, what's the old saying that Washington is Hollywood for ugly people?
It's true. It's true. Both of us have faces for radio, as they say in the business.
Speak for yourself. Anyway, so some of these people that have been invited, I mean, they're sort of, I'm not going to say second tier, but they're not necessarily household names. I'll give you a few.
Well, look, you know, the Nerd Prom 10, 15 years ago was the talk of the town. You had George Clooney and Sandra Bullock showing up. And something has happened where it has turned into a somewhat second tier, D-level, and dare I say, distasteful example of Washington and media insider elitism. You know, what they do is they get dolled up in their tuxedos. It's a black tie and ball gowns. That's where you get the prom references kind of event. The president goes up there, does a stand-up routine. A comedian comes and trades barbs with the president. And there's a lot of yuck-yucking. And in a time where people are angry with the economy and being left behind by the Obama economy in the past 8 years, this is not always the best way to show that you have the American people's interests at heart. This is a fancy-pants, highfalutin, kind of hoity-toity cocktail party scene that often visually creates distance between regular Americans and those very privileged folks who find themselves working for news organizations.
Right, and it looks to be an intentional sort of relationship to that sort of Hollywood thing. One of the people invited by Fox News, for example, is a man named Chris Dodd, who is the Motion Picture Association CEO.
That's right, and Chris Dodd was a senator from Connecticut. I think he does a good job working for MPAA and looking after the interests of his client. Who else is coming?
John Cena, also invited by
Fox. Oh, the wrestler, WWE John Cena. I'm doing the hand across the face.
Yes, exactly.
Cena move.
He's become a meme, by the way.
And his name is John Cena!
On the internet, it's almost like a Rickrolling. You'll think it's the description of the video will be one thing, like, look at this cute kitten, you know, jumping across the couch, and the next thing you know, it'll be John Cena. He's become a meme.
And you got Cena'd, I guess. Exactly. Would be the phrase the kids are using these days.
Others from Fox News, J.C. Chazes.
From the old NSYNC days. What was Joey Fatone had other plans, so they got stuck with J.C. Chazes.
Somebody's got to be there hanging tough.
Oh, wow. I get it.
Jeff Goldblum, also Fox News invitee.
Jeff Goldblum, the fly?
Yep.
Is a celebrity at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Okay.
Fox wants him there.
Well, I guess his... All right, he's not taping commercials or doing Jurassic Park 12, so he'll be available this weekend.
ABC News has a little more conventional talent. They've got Will and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Will and Jada Pinkett, so the Fresh Prince.
That's correct.
Will be. You know, I don't know if I want to sit at dinner all night with Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, but I would like to spend an evening with the kid. Whose Twitter feed is hilarious. What's his name, Jaden?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, Jaden, you're wonderful. If you're out there and listening, please, we'd love to see you at CPAC.
He kind of gives me a Prince vibe. Kind of the polymath, sort of genius all over the place.
I'll give you the polymath, but not the genius part.
Also, ABC News seems to be inviting some of their own people in Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar.
But they're ABC employees. They're on The View. So that's like Fox News inviting. What stars are we going to bring? We're bringing Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Megyn Kelly.
Right.
Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar are, frankly, reprehensible media personalities that I can't believe are on television. And I don't know who watches that show, unfortunately.
Yeah, as a woman, you know, they're pretty shrill. And I'm often confused by, what kind of woman listens to them and thinks, yeah, that's a girlfriend that I want to have.
I liked Whoopi in Sister Act. I thought she did a good job.
I thought
Sister Act was a great film from 1996.
Thomson Reuters went a little classier. They got Michelle Dockery, who was in Downton Abbey.
What's that?
You didn't see Downton Abbey?
That's
like
PBS
the PBS
show, right?
Show.
That's what our tax dollars go to. We're funding PBS.
Let's see. NBC News. There's just one, Jamie Alexander from Blind Spot. I don't even know who that is. So we'll move on.
They're the new band out of Seattle. I think it's like a post-grunge thing,
okay.
Blind Spot.
Sounds like it. USA Today, Rosario Dawson from Daredevil, which Daredevil is actually a great show on Netflix. Everyone should watch it. It's amazing. But Rosario Dawson was just arrested, I believe, at a Bernie Sanders rally.
Edgy. They're getting the liberal badge of honor. She's now a lieutenant in the Bernie Army.
That's great. Oh, yes, she
officer
is. She's been
level stuff.
She's been knighted. Kendall Jenner. Also invited by USA Today.
Interesting. Which one is Kendall?
I believe she's the actual model. I think she's the haute couture runway model.
And which news organization is bringing?
USA Today.
Kendall Jenner?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, Kylie is her younger sister. Kendall Jenner's the Jenner, I believe, that's actually working.
I got to tell you, I don't follow the Jenner Kardashian scene, but I hear it's very popular, and it's downright surreal that the Kardashian Jenner world is coming here to Washington D.C. to interact with senators and representatives and White House staffers. It sounds totally peculiar, if you ask me.
Yeah, and then the Wall Street Journal, who I would imagine would choose someone of name, actually chose Ed Burns, who's a director of film, really mostly popular back in the 80s, and the 90s, and then his wife, Christy Turlington Burns, who was a supermodel.
Funny, a lot of people think that the Wall Street Journal was very popular in the 1980s as well.
Oh, burn!
Feel the burn. Who else were they bringing besides Ed Burns?
That's it.
And Wall Street Journal. Who's the wife that?
Christy Turlington Burns.
Oh, she's a model from the 1980s. Yeah. Also very popular.
That's correct.
In the 1980s.
She's beautiful, still is, but I do think she does some sort of international sort of charity work.
Well, when I think of smart takes on the current state of affairs in America, I often go to supermodels from the 1980s for my good quotes.
I'm actually curious, do you think that people do look at something like the White House Correspondents' Dinner and they may watch it on C-SPAN? Do you think that is partly why people feel such a distance between D.C. and the rest of the country?
Absolutely. I think it's when you see very wealthy people yucking it up with champagne glasses and martinis and tuxedos, and it is not a good visual. Especially when there are so many folks who are out of work, who would like to be in work, who are frustrated with the system and the status quo, who are looking for a different path toward creating an economy of opportunity for everybody, who are concerned with keeping America safe from our global enemies. This doesn't send the message that D.C. folks are hard at work looking after the interests of everyday Americans. But still, I'm a junkie for this stuff, and I'm going to pop my popcorn on Saturday night, throw on the C-SPAN, and me and the sweetheart are definitely gonna watch. It's a good opportunity to see, what do you say when you go to the zoo? To see the animals in their natural environment. Last year we watched and we were fascinated to see Al Sharpton come down the red carpet. He was looking sharp and sort of yucking it up with all of the Hollywood types who absolutely adored the Reverend Al, who I'm sure is a very nice guy, but has often gotten it wrong and has built a career for himself with a lot of bad behavior.
All right, all of that said, if you were invited, would you go?
Yeah, I'd totally go. I'm not high enough on the food chain to really ever be offered an invitation. I don't have a lot of Hollywood star friends, but if somebody were to give me a ticket, I would do my best to blend in. I'd have to rent a tux. I don't have my own tuxedo, but...
I'm sure you would look sharp, just like, or dare I say Sharpton.
I would be the Sharptonest looking guy. On campus. This has been season one, episode one of the inaugural American Conservative podcast, American Conservative Union podcast. The Outsiders, thanks for joining us. Be sure to let us know what you think about it. Questions, comments, concerns on Twitter at ACU Conservative or at CPAC. Check it out and we'll see you next week.